All right. Well, today we're gonna be finishing our teaching series, God at the Movies. And but before we get started, I'm gonna do a quick review of last week and then jump into this last message of the series. But before we do, can we bow our heads now and let's invite the presence of God into this time. This should be fun today. Father God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your incredible faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here together. And God, I just pray now that by your Spirit, Lord, you would speak to us. You would connect with each one of us individually in a special, life-transforming way. God, we open our hearts. We open our minds, we open our ears to hear, God, what you have to say to us today, because I believe every single one of us desires to hear from you. And so, God, we dedicate this time to you. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, and we make room for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, for the past 7 weeks, we've been in this series, God at the Movies, where we've been looking at recent movies, or fairly recent movies at least, popular movies. They've all been secular movies. And we've been trying to find spiritual truth within these movies that we've seen. And if you haven't been at any of these teachings, I always give two disclaimers before we start. The first disclaimer, of course, is that I'm not endorsing any of the movies that we cover, though I don't do any R-rated movies because I don't watch R-rated movies. And second of all, there's the spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movie, I might ruin it for you. I don't know if that'll be the case this time, but that's the disclaimer I always give, because I prefer to not get nasty emails or say that I ruined somebody's life because we showed a clip from a movie. You laugh, but I do things on purpose. Amen. All right. Okay, so last week's message was entitled, How Do You Know? And the movie that we looked at was the movie Gifted. And there was a couple things that I really focused on last week. And it was funny, Luann, she, when I was talking to her after church Sunday, last Sunday, she said, that was a really serious, serious message. There was a serious, kind of a serious tone to it. Because one of the big thing that I talked about last week was don't confuse being spiritual with faith. Because that's a predominant issue in our world today, though it's actually been a predominant issue for a long time, but it is a big time issue today. There's a lot of spiritual, quote unquote, people today. And so we talked about the fact that when the object of our faith is the one who made all things and the one who is in control of all things, then the result will be peace. Because right now in our world, there's a lot of spiritual and religious people, but there's no peace because the object of their worship isn't the one who created everything and the one who is in control of everything. Jesus said in John 14:27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then we talked about the fact that life isn't random. Life isn't senseless and just not going anywhere, but that God's plan has actually already been revealed. His plan for all of mankind has already been revealed. It's not a mystery. It's not mindless or senseless. God has already set a specific date on the calendar when he will judge everyone and everything. So life isn't random, senseless. Your decisions about God and about how you live your life are eternally important. God commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of being foolish. So that's what we focused on last week with the message, How Do You Know? Today, it's not going to be such a serious tone. Is that good news? Today will be fun. The movie that we look at today will be fun. Today's message is entitled A Short Walk. A Short Walk. And the movie that we're going to focus on today is the animated movie Sing. Yay! All of you that have little kids go, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing that movie. I've seen it 5,000 times. I remember those days. My kids are too old for that now. I want to start with a really interesting story, and we'll get into which will kind of explain where we're going to go today with this message, A Short Walk. A number of years ago in Birmingham, Alabama, in the newspaper, had a headline on the sports page of the newspaper, and the headline read, "The most exciting moment of my life." And it showed a picture of Jack Nicklaus, the golfer, writing out a $5,000 check to a charity. But as a matter of fact, it was the second $5,000 check that Jack Nicklaus wrote that day. And it happened because of a game of golf that he lost. In Birmingham, there was a man by the name of Charlie Boswell. And way back in 1937, Charlie Boswell was the captain of the University of Alabama football team. And then in World War II, he was a captain in the infantry until he stepped on a landmine and blew his eyes out. Charlie Boswell, full on blind. But he's a good golfer. And for 9 holes, he can shoot par golf. He hits a ball that he can't see. And when he gets to the green, when it's time to putt, he has the caddy rattle the pin in the cup so he can hear where the target is. And he can putt. He can shoot par golf for 9 holes. So Jack Nicklaus goes to Birmingham to help raise money for a boys' ranch, and he wrote a check for $5,000. And so they had a banquet to honor him for helping with the fundraiser and also for his $5,000 check. Halfway through the meal, Charlie Boswell stands up at his table in the back of the room and says in a voice loud enough for everyone in the room to hear, he says, "Mr. Nicklaus, they tell me you play a little golf." And the room goes totally quiet. And Jack says, "Yeah, I've been known to play a round or two." And Charlie says, "So do I." And he said, "I think I can beat you. I'll play you 9 holes of golf. If you can beat me, I'll give $5,000 to the boys' ranch. And if I beat you, you give another $5,000 to the boys' ranch." And he said, "And to make this contest fun, exciting, and fair, you get to choose the course where we play, and I get to choose the time of the day that we play, either day or night." Well, you know which time of the day Charlie chose, right? So So the Birmingham newspaper had a full-length picture of Nicholas writing out his second $5,000 check. And the headline said, "The most exciting moment of my life." And someone asked Jack Nicklaus about the headline. They said, why would you say that? You're Jack Nicklaus. You are a world famous golfer, one of the greatest golfers in the history of the world. You've won every trophy, every award, every accolade. You're incredibly successful in business. How could this be the most exciting moment of your life? And Jack Nicklaus said, "It's because I met a person today who refuses to let fear control his life." Isn't that amazing? That Jack Nicklaus would say, "This is the most amazing moment of my entire life because I met someone who refuses to let fear control his life." And his statement gives us insight into what I want to talk to you about today. You know, there's a difference between the word can't and won't. The word won't comes from the word will and the word not. Will not, which means it's an act of your will. It's you making the decision, you deciding to choose or refuse to do something that you could do. I won't overeat at the restaurant after church today. Though I could. But I'm making the choice not to. I'm refusing to. So I will not. I won't do that. But the word can't is built on the words can and not, which means that something is preventing me or blocking me from doing or making or accomplishing something that maybe that I even want to. I can't overeat at the restaurant today because I ain't got no money. My lack of funds is preventing me, blocking me from even going to the restaurant. So there's no chance that I could overeat at the restaurant because something's blocking me or preventing me. There's a difference between can't and won't. Jack Nicklaus was blown away by Charlie Boswell because he saw that years before, Charlie Boswell had made the decision that he would choose to refuse, he won't or will not let something, in this case fear, prevent or block him from being able to accomplish things, in this case, play golf. Charlie Boswell understood that it's a short walk between can't, I can't, and I can. It's a short walk. In fact, it's only one letter. It's a very short distance between I can't and I can. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The reality is that for many of us, we have said, "I can't," so many times that we don't even notice it when we say it now. I can't because I'm not smart enough, or I'm too smart. I can't, because I'm not confident enough. Or I'm too confident. I can't because I'm not talented enough, or I'm too talented. I can't because where I live, I can't because of what I have, I can't because of the color of my skin, I can't because I have too much hair or I don't have enough hair. I can't. We've said it so many times, we don't even notice it. It takes someone else to go, did you realize you just said, I can't? So in this first scene, and then hopefully we can, I'm giving you a moment to get ready for this. Okay, cool. In this first scene from the movie Sing, I want you to see if you can figure out what's blocking this character named Mina from accomplishing something that she's actually really, really good at. Are you ready? All right, let's try it.
It just kind of ruins my song, you know?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy
birthday, dear Grandpa. Happy birthday to you.
Aww.
What? Come on, make your wish.
I wish you'd join a choir, a local band, or something.
I tried.
Bah.
Hey, Dad, we've been over this.
So she's a little shy. So what? If I had a voice like Mina's, I'd be a superstar by now. Just singing, ooh, yeah.
I sure say, you would, ooh, Grandpa. Yeah. Now blow out your candles.
Good job. So Mina's grandfather essentially says, I wish you would do something with that gift that you have. And what was her response? I tried, but I can't. I can't do anything with the gift. This amazing gift that I have, I can sing, but I can't. Some of you right this moment can relate. You can relate to that feeling. And you may wish that there's something that you wish you could do. Or maybe there's something that you wish you could stop doing. In either case, it involves change. There's some change that you wish you could make as far as your life. And maybe you've even tried, like Mina. Oh, I tried. I tried to start doing that, or I tried to stop doing that. But it didn't work. It didn't work out. So now you're in that place of just settling into that place of, I can't. But what if I could show you how to turn that around? If I could show you how to turn that around, would you take another chance? Would you try again? To start whatever that is, or even to stop whatever that is. And so what I want to do today is I want to give you four steps. I believe it's a four-step process. It's something that I do, and I'm going to share a little bit about something that I'm about to start doing, where I'm going to be using these four steps. But I believe, first of all, I believe that God wants you to overcome. God wants you to be victorious in whatever this area is in your life that you're struggling with. But I want to give you four steps. And so step one is, this is really where we have to start. You have to trust that God is near. You have to trust that God is near. Last week we saw in Acts chapter 17, verse 27, that Paul told the audience that God, he said, God is not far from any of us. God's not far from any of us. But the reality is that when you become a believer, when you make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, it gets better than that. It gets better than just God is not far from all of us. Because when you become a believer, you get unlimited access to God. And that's better. I love Dallas Willard's paraphrase of Mark chapter 1, verse 15. I've used this quite a bit over the years because it's just something that just resonates with me. And it's his paraphrase of that verse. And his paraphrase says, Jesus then came into Galilee announcing the good news from God. This is good news. The good news is this. All the preliminaries have been taken care of, he said, and the rule of God is now accessible. Let me hear you say accessible. The rule of God is now accessible to everyone. Review your plans for living then and base your life on this remarkable new opportunity. Essentially, when Jesus first began his ministry, this is the message that Jesus preached and announced in every village that he went to. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Everything's been taken care of, and now the kingdom of God is accessible, open to everyone. So, think about your life. Think about your future. Think about your plans and take advantage. Take advantage of this while you still can, because this is amazing. This is remarkable, a remarkable new opportunity. And so as a believer, not only do you now have access to God because you've taken advantage of this opportunity, you have stepped into the kingdom of God. Not only do you have access to God, but God takes it a step further and he promises to come close to you whenever you come close to him. He promises to come near to you. He promises to respond to you when you come near to him, when you reach out to him. And when you use your access. You know, back when I was in the music industry and I would be on tour with an artist or Promise Keepers or whatever, and maybe the venue was a football stadium or an arena or a theater, regardless of the venue, when we would be in the van driving to the arena to get ready to set up and rehearse and sound check and play the gig, the first thing that the road manager would do was he would give all of us all access passes, our badges, because you can't get into the stadium. I don't know if you ever tried this, but you can't get into an arena or a stadium without one. But the pass would say all access. And we'd put that on, hang that around our neck. And from that moment on, when I had that pass on, I could go anywhere in the stadium that I wanted to. I could go on the field and roll around in the grass. I could go into all the locker rooms and pull people's stuff out if I wanted to. I could go into the offices. I could go into the luxury suites. I could go anywhere because all I had to do was walk, and from a distance, the security guard would see that pass, and they would get up from their chair, and they would open the door and let me in because I had access. Imagine if I decided, you know, I'm kind of skeptical about this pass thing. How does a laminated piece of paper have that much power? I feel kind of skeptical, but I'm gonna take this off. And I tried to get into that stadium. You know, I have my guitar on my shoulder. What do you think would happen? Sorry, dude. You're not getting in. Because I wouldn't be using the access that I have. God promises to come near to you when you use your access to him. Change begins in your life when you use your access to God. When you use your access, when you come near to God, he promises to come near to you. That's the beginning of change. Whether it's you wanting to start something or whether you're wanting to stop something, it begins when you use your access to God. Review your plans for living and base your life on this remarkable new opportunity. Step two, you have to stay connected to the power source. You have to stay connected to the power source. Have you ever tried to turn on the TV or the vacuum cleaner or some appliance or whatever? You try to turn it on and it doesn't come on. Anybody ever had that happen? Okay, 3, 4, 5. What's the first thing you do when that happens? You check to see if it's plugged in, right? And so usually when you go check to see if it's plugged in, isn't it interesting how the plug could be laying right next to the outlet? Or the plug is halfway plugged into the outlet, right? No matter how close it might be, the result is still no power. Right. Because for power, you have to have connection. You have to be fully connected in order for there to be power. We have settled into and become content with being close, but not fully connected. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 4. He said, "Remain in me." Let me hear you say, "Remain in me." "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Isn't it weird how Jesus just says the same thing over and over? If you remain, you have to remain in me. If you don't remain in me, you can do nothing. You have to remain in me. So remain in me, you know, over and over and over again. A branch can't produce fruit unless it's connected to the vine. And Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Now, he's using this agricultural illustration, this picture, he's trying to paint this picture, but in reality, what is he saying? What is he talking about? He's talking about relationship. He's talking about relationship. He's saying, unless you have a relationship with me, you won't bear any fruit. You have to have a relationship with me. That's what he's talking about. The power of God cannot exist apart from him. Let me say that one more time. The power of God cannot exist apart from God. It's not a separate thing. Everybody wants power, right? We all want power. We all want the power to be able to do things, to make things happen. But we think of it as a separate entity. But it's not. The power of God comes from God, is within God. You can't access the power of God without having a relationship with God. We must be in relationship with him in order to access, there's that word again, access his power. Because guess what? It takes power to change things in your life. Even the world knows that. That's where we get the term willpower. Anybody ever heard of that term?
Right.
You just got to suck it up. It just takes willpower to make that change happen, to stop doing that thing or start doing that thing. Right. Willpower. But guess what? I don't want willpower. I want God power.
Amen.
I don't need willpower. I need God power. I need to have a relationship with God. I got to stay connected with him so that I can then access his power, which is way beyond anything I can muster up on my own. This willpower thing, that's a waste of time. I need God power. I've got to stay connected to the power source. Step three. You have to ask for help. If trust that God is near, you have to say connect to the power source, but you have to ask for help. And again, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He said, ask. Come here, say ask.
Ask
and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock. And the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. Yes. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Here's what's really interesting about these two verses, especially verse 7. The words ask, seek, and knock. And what he says here in this verse are, in the Greek, are in the form of what's called an imperative. The form of an imperative. So Jesus is not making a suggestion here. He's not, you know, just a little bit of advice, a tip. If you are interested, maybe you might try asking. No, it's an imperative, which means it's a command. Jesus is telling you what to do. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I don't know about you. I'm trying to think about it. I can't think of a time when I've ordered someone to ask. I'm telling you, ask.
Amen.
But that's what Jesus is doing.
Right.
He's telling you and I, ask, seek, and knock. It's a command.
Yep.
Now, because we're all like, Now let's take it a step further. What character trait does a person need to have in order to obey a command? What character trait do I need to have
humility
for me to obey a command?
Humility.
Humility. It takes humility to be able to receive a command and to go, yes, sir. I will obey that command. It takes humility. Humility is incredibly important. I tell you, to help me stay humble, and I always try to stay humble. I always try to live by the axiom or the philosophy. It takes a big man to cry. But it takes an even bigger man to laugh at that man. That joke went way over your heads. But obey an order involves submitting to authority, right? And I grew up kind of having an understanding of this because my dad was in the Army. And whenever the military would give my dad an order to move our family from one state to another or to another country or whatever, it wasn't a debate. It was,
right,
when are we moving? When do we start packing? But it takes humility to obey a command. But here's another thing. Have you ever had a hard time asking someone for help? Because that takes humility too, right? It takes humility to admit you can't do something, that you need someone to help you. It takes humility to ask for help. But here's the thing, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is doing the same thing, similar to what we saw in John 15. He's giving a picture. He's giving a picture. And the picture is ultimately is a picture of who God is and what God is like. And the picture is that God responds to humility. When you're humble, God responds to that. And when you use when you're humble and you use your access to God, He really responds to that. Some of us get caught up in the, you know, He says everyone, if you ask anything, God's going to give you anything, you know, like God's a vending machine or something. That's not what He's saying. He's giving you a picture of who God is like, that God responds to us when we use our access, especially in a humble way. Asking God for help is critical if you want to move from I can't to I can. Because if you're humble enough to ask God for help, He will help you. He will respond to you. All right, so we're gonna show you the second scene that I want to show you today, and before we get into step four from the movie Sing.
Is she coming out? Nina, what's wrong? Are you okay?
I can't move. I'm terrified.
Give me your hand, kid. Okay, deep breaths, deep breaths. And remember what I told you. You will not feel afraid anymore if you just start singing.
Okay.
Sing.
Adam. All right, step four. You have to step out and start. You have to step out and start. I've shared this before, the whole idea of first you do and then you know. First you do and then you know. Don't you worry about a thing. Just start to sing. First you do and then you know. When you get to this point, it's time to take that step. Time to take the step out. You know, tomorrow I start a 6-week fitness challenge at my gym. 6 weeks of strict dieting, workout 6 days a week, really hard. And I haven't done something like this in a number of years, and I already know it's going to hurt. It's going to be a lot of pain involved. Actually, I've already had my feelings hurt because I had to have my body fat tested this past Friday. I'm not going to touch that. But I decided to do this a few weeks ago. It's been kind of something that God's just been whispering to me for a while. I finally decided to pick up the phone, if you will. And so I've had time over the past few weeks to actually do these previous steps that I've shared with you. I've had time to trust that God is near. I've had time to make sure that I'm going to stay connected to the power source. And certainly I've been pleading with God for help for the past few weeks. But now, none of that would matter if tomorrow I didn't step out and start. So tomorrow I have to step out to activate everything else that we've talked about today. First you do, and then you know. Israel found this out. Israel had to walk around the city of Jericho 7 days in a row, follow all the instructions before the walls came down. The story of Naaman. He had to go and dip himself into the muddy river 7 times before his skin was healed. This idea of first you do and then you know is throughout Scripture. So whatever it is, and I don't know everybody's story, and I don't know what thing that God's put on your mind, on your heart today, but whatever it is that you want to change, whatever it is that you want to change, stop procrastinating. Set a date. Let people know what it is that you're wanting to do so that you will be accountable. And then wake up that day and say, today's the day. Today's the day when I stop or when I stop. And take that step. Take that step from I can't to I can. Will you bow your heads? Lord God, I thank you for your word. I know that you are speaking to people all over this room today, encouraging each one. And so God, I pray that you'll seal your word in all of our hearts today. And we thank you, God, for your love for us. With every head bowed, I want to ask if you've not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, and if you want to begin that relationship, that connection that we've talked about, you can make that decision today if you haven't already. And if that's you, would you just lift your hand right now just to indicate that that's a decision that you're wanting to make for the first time, that we might pray with you and encourage you. Next, I want to ask, has God put something on your heart? Something that's a true desire of your heart to change about you? Something that you're wanting to start? Or something that you're wanting to stop? But some change. It could be a dream. It could be something that you're just passionate about. It could just be something that you know you should do or should stop doing. That is time. That God's been whispering to you about it. And now you know. Now it's been confirmed. This is it. I got to do this. But if that's you, would you just lift your hand right now as well? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, it's between you and the Lord. You have to follow these 4 steps that I've shared with you today. Trust that God is close to you. Use your access to connect with Him, to reach out to Him about whatever this situation is. And then stay connected to Him. Understand that the power that you need to make that happen has to come from Him. And that you do have to ask for help. Ask Him, Lord, help me with this. But then you've got to step out. Set a date. Figure out when this is going to begin. And trust that God will be there. He'll meet you. He'll help you. Father God, I thank you for everyone that's raised their hands today. All the connection that is being reestablished throughout this room. I pray, Father, for your grace, your mercy, and your power, God, for each person. And God, I pray that there would be incredible victory, incredible testimonies of your goodness, and just your miracle-working power working in and through people's lives. And we thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give God praise? Amen. Amen. All right. And yeah, be sure and pray for me too, please. I'm going to need it. All right. Well, in just a moment, our greeter is going to come forward and pass the offering bags down the aisles. I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. Pray for all of us. Pray for all of our hearts, that our hearts would be pleasing before God as we give to the Lord. And I thank you for your generosity. I thank you for your obedience and your blessing, and just all that God is wanting to do in and through this moment in our church. I'm excited about, and so I want to praise God for that. Lord God, we thank you for this chance to not only be obedient to you, but to grow in our faith, grow in our trust of you. So, Father, I pray for all of our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would guide us, that we would be humble enough to hear, to listen, and to obey as far as what we are to give today. God, I pray that you would bless your people. I pray that all of us would continue to grow in our faith and trust in you, and that, Lord, your provision would continue in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, what an awesome Sunday. We're so glad that you came. Before we close with a blessing, I just want to remind you to go and to sign up for the Miles for Missions Walkathon. And that will be held at the Rec Park from 8 to 10 in the morning. And also to come to our midweek studies. The men's study is on Revelation. The women's studies is on breaking curses in our life from Dr. Tony Evans. And then, of course, we have our Delta Club for the kids, and we have our youth group, which both programs are amazing. So we invite the whole church out. Also, Cleansing Streams, when you go through this door, take a right, and you'll see the signs that will take you to room 4. And that's where the meeting is for Cleansing Streams, and we hope that many of you can do that. If you need food, if you need clothing, those are in our family room at the care closet, and there will be someone there to help you. And if you need to help someone else with the resources here at the church, please take advantage of that. All right, if you'll go ahead and lift up your hands, I'm going to leave you with the blessing. And if you did not get prayer during worship time and you wanted it, our prayer team, Eleanor and Jackie, will be down there to connect, just like Pastor said, to connect and reach out to God and have Him help you with the things that you need. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you, and may He cause His radiant face to shine upon you. And as you reach out to Him and enter into the access of the Holy of Holies, may the power of the Holy Spirit fill your life and give you the strength that you need for this week. All God's people said, Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
He's working.